revolution. Well, you know. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. You got the Rational Revolution. You got Mark Becker. That's me on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm so glad you're here. And we've got my returning friend and yours. You know, I think this is like our MVP guest here is what we're talking about. And if you don't know, it's Mr. Carlton Huffman hailing from beautiful North Carolina. What's up, man?
Not too much. I mean, spring is in the air, and I was telling a friend the other day, it seems like the United States is living through a tradition I've gone through now three times in my life. First as a elementary school student in 1991, as a senior in high school in 2001, and now as a 42-year-old elder millennial going to war in the Middle East. Oh, it just seems to be the record that is stuck on repeat right now.
Isn't that terrible? Yeah, and I'm glad you're here to talk about that, because you know, I think, yeah, millennials, you know, this is not tales all this time, but like, this one's different, because I mean, Iran is a completely different beast. There's a reason why there's, what, seven presidents haven't, like, gone to war and done this, because this ain't going to end well.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you could sit here and say with the first Gulf War in 1991, we had a simple objective and we knew what it was, like get the Iraqis out of Kuwait, the end, which we were able to do very quickly. 2003, obviously, whenever we kicked in the door going after Saddam Hussein, yes, some of the rationale for the war was wrong, but we knew what we were trying to do, which is go all the way to Baghdad, get Saddam Hussein out, find the weapons of mass destruction. This war, I have no clue what we're trying to do. It seems to change every day that the president opens his mouth, and we, the American people, are in for a ride on this one.
Well, and like people don't realize, I hope people realize, but like the population of Iran, it's like 90 million people. And by comparison, like the population of the United Kingdom is under 70. So this is not a small country. This is a very populated country that is the bully of the Middle East. This is not Afghanistan. It's not Iraq. This is a different beast.
Absolutely. And I would say that the thing with Iran that we all, if you look at the map and you just understand the flow of global commerce, 20% of the world's oil goes through the Strait of Hormuz. And one thing that you could tell very quickly with this military operation is that we expected after we killed Ayatollah Khomeini, and I mean, I will say he deserves every like ugly incel virgin down there, south of purgatory. But the thing is that we seem to think
south of purgatory.
we seem to think that once we killed him, that was it, that the regime was going to be destabilized and that would be the end of it. But instead, here we are 2 weeks in now, and the Strait of Hormuz is shut down. Yeah. Americans are filling it at the pump, and we don't seem to have a clear plan of, are we going to keep bombing until we run out of bombs? Are we going to keep bombing until the regime quits? What's the plan? Nobody seems to be offering us anything on that one.
There's no plan.
No. Absolutely not.
No, and like, okay, so you started this, and we're bombing the bleep out of people. Where does this end? We have one of the senators said that he was in a classified briefing, and like there's no plan. Was it Blumenthal said that he sees we're gonna send troops? Like, holy crap.
Basically either we get a ceasefire and the regime is still standing and we will have expended however many, like $10 or $12 billion just in the first week of the war alone. And we've had global commerce, especially with the oil markets, but so much more that touches on commerce just beyond the oil, shut down for 2 weeks to basically leave in power the regime that we said was so evil, which, yes, they are. They have killed a lot of Americans. They killed over 30,000 of their own people just in the first 2 weeks of January. But at the end of the day, if we're going to go to war, let's actually go to war with a plan that you've explained to the American people and had us on sign on for. Instead, we went to war on a whim. And now the thing is that this is not going to stop. I mean, we might get a ceasefire, but the Israelis were bombing them last year. We joined in on bombing them last year. Here we are again in March. And this conflict is not going to be one that just, we quit bombing them one day and we live happily ever after. That's just not what happens in the Middle East.
No. And it, you know, it, it's, It's like with COVID, these deeply unserious people, their plan was to just pretend like it didn't exist, right? And that cost millions of Americans their lives. And so now, you know, I don't know how this ends. I wonder, you know, I'm nervous that it's going to be a Trump thing where he'll declare victory, you know, peace out Iran, suck on that. I hope you liked those bombs. And then just pretend like this didn't happen. And Iran's not going to go for that.
No, absolutely not. Memories are very long in the Middle East on every side of things. And I would just say that the Iranians remember back in the 80s, whenever Reagan was president during the Iraq-Iran war, we escorted tankers through the Straits of Hormuz to secure the oil, and we sank the Iranian Navy during the 1980s. You and I were both too young to remember that, but it seemed like the American public, it didn't register as a real war. But the Iranians remember that, and they've been training for revenge and screaming death to America for, like I said, even longer than both yours and my lifetimes. And they're not going to stop whether we decide that we just want to quit and pretend this didn't happen. And at the end of the day, if we're going to go to war, we actually need to go to war, and we actually need to be prepared for it as a public.
Well, and so, I mean, what happens if we do that? I mean, the gas is going to $200 a barrel is not without, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, this is... It seems like we got into this thing with no freaking idea of why, and now it's like, okay, well, how do you get out of it?
Yeah, that's the thing. And the enemy gets a vote on this one, and I can say that we exchange one Khamenei for another, and this guy had his dad, his wife, and I believe some of his children killed in the initial strike. So, and he was definitely not a... like I said, soft touch person before, and he's even more hardline now after seeing his family killed and almost being killed himself by the Israelis. So this thing is going to be far from over, regardless of whether we decide to just call it quits or not.
Well, and Khamenei sucked. He was a bad person. But we had a deal in place. If the real objective was Iran can't get a nuclear weapon, we did that. We had that, and it didn't cost us a thing, because the in that deal, all it did was unfroze their own assets. It gave them their money back that was in foreign banks. It didn't really cost Americans a lot other than just, here you go, Iran. And they didn't do anything. And they were like pacified. Okay, bye, go away. Now it's all gone with no plan.
And I would say, too, that the whole balance of power, even before we started bombing them on February the 28th, was ever since October 7th, 2023, with that horrible attack on Israel, Israel had basically shredded Iran's proxy networks. They had shredded Hamas. They had destroyed most of Hezbollah's capabilities. They had shown their own ability to go all the way to Tehran and declare air supremacy over the entire country. They could bomb anywhere in Iran at will. So this problem was contained. Yeah. It just seemed that Donald Trump wanted the legacy option, and Bibi Netanyahu saw an opportunity to cut the head off the snake.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there are people out there that say, this is a distraction from the Epstein files. It's like, I don't even know if that's accurate. I mean, I'm sure that has some to do with it, but like, I think that's taking the easy way out to say that that's what that is.
I had heard it said that ever since what happened with Venezuela, whenever we were able to go in and get Maduro in such a bloodless fashion, that people, that they get that first hit of a great drug, and then that first hit is not enough for them. They've got to keep on chasing that high. And to be able to sit there and say that, hey, I took out Maduro, the chance to say I freed Iran, and now he's saying he wants to free Cuba. The thing is that the other side gets a vote on it. These regimes that have been in power for decades know that the best that they can hope for is a human rights tribunal versus getting ripped to limb from limb by their own people. These people are not going to go away quietly. They're going to fight to the death no matter what.
Well, and I mean, you look at what happened in Venezuela. You just replaced Maduro with the freaking vice president. It wasn't a regime change. It's the same people that are in charge, just without the top guy.
And he thought that they would be, that the Iranians would be as pliable with a new head of state as the Venezuelans have proved to be. And unfortunately, that is not the case. We've had 7 Americans killed in action so far to date, and this conflict has no end in sight.
So what is the path forward here? What happens next in Iran?
We are going to continue the air campaign against them, but at the end of the day, it comes down to what are the world markets going to go through with the oil being cut off. I mean, we just had the biggest release of oil this week by the IAEA, and that is a good thing for temporary relief. But if this thing goes into a month, 2 months, it is only going, it's going to be the worst oil shock, according to the Wall Street Journal, since the 1970s when the Arabs declared the oil embargo on the United States in reaction to the Yom Kippur War. And if we go through that, I mean, we're looking at a prolonged economic recession. We've already seen the job reports of the last few months keep on getting like downgraded in terms of the amount of jobs that the economy's created. So if we're not in a recession yet, we will absolutely be in one. And especially when Americans are paying close to $4 a gallon gasoline. We saw, I think you posted a picture of Tom Tiffany celebrating the most gas prices under Donald Trump that we'd ever seen. And yet,
made promises kept.
But here we are, turn right around. We're getting into some of the highest gas prices that we've experienced since 2008 and definitely 2022 when Russia invaded Ukraine.
But we're almost getting to a point where even a complete flip of power from Senate, House, all of that, that's not going to help. That's not going to help because we're knee deep in this excrement.
I mean, beyond cutting the money off, and that's the thing that Democrats are always reticent to do, and I can understand too when American soldiers are in the firing line that you only give them the support, and we obviously. Yeah. We wish the best success for our men and women that are over there in the Middle East. But at the same time, good politics and just being like good patriots means that we want them to have a mission. We want their mission to be clear, and we want them to be able to come home in victory and success. And as far as just what we are going to be dealing with in terms of the political calculus, it feels a lot like 2006. The economy is uncertain. Yeah. Gasoline is going up. The Republicans run both houses of Congress, but we've got a new and unpopular war in the Middle East, and it feels like deja vu all over again.
Yeah, but then, and you know, and we're going to continue this discussion on the other side, but too with Carlton Huffman. I saw as well a thing that said that that even in the early days of the Iraq War, 70-some% of the Americans supported it too. So it's wild, and I don't know where this gets us, but we're going to continue the discussion about this. We're going to talk about. You know, bye-bye, Christy Noem. The witch is dead. Right after this here with Carlton Huffman on the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stick around.
Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
We're doing the popcorn pick of the week. Brian Noonan is here.
Okay, you go see a movie in a theater. Yes. What are the things you have to buy?
It's got to be popcorn and then something chocolate.
I partake in one thing and one thing only when I go to a movie.
Jack Daniels?
I partake in two things and two things only when I go to a movie. I always get an icy. If I can fill my own icy cup, I will come back. If they're doing it, I will never come back again.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. Weekday evenings from 5 to 7 on the Civic Media Network.